One night that December, in the bitterest of weather, a car inched its way along Herrengasse, past the burnt-out shells of houses that belonged to Innsbruck's wealthiest inhabitants. Sleek and black, with a long, low-slung bonnet, the number plate, and the blue glare from its headlamps, identified it as belonging to the Gestapo. At the corner with Renweg, beneath a low arch, the car turned right, its wheels sliding on the snow. At what hour, precisely, even on which day, it is impossible to say. The official documents relating to the terrible purpose of its journey would be destroyed within months of it having taken place. The car was heading east. Approaching the outskirts of the city, the driver, wearing the gray field uniform of the Waffen-SS, took the Reichsstraße 31, the main road up through the Inn Valley to the German border. So secret was his assignment, he had waited for darkness to fall before leaving the Gestapo's headquarters. With a blackout in force, there was no danger of other drivers, or people he passed, seeing two of his passengers. They were so small, not even the tops of their heads were visible through the window. Craning his neck, the driver could see the children in his rearview mirror. The boys were seated next to an SS nurse, their escort for the journey. Aged 2 and 4, they had blue eyes and fair hair, which fell in tumbles of long blonde curls. Both boys were dressed in homemade woolen overcoats that were many sizes too big, as if someone was expecting them to grow into them. Leaving the city, on the long straight road that ran through the center of the valley, the car picked up speed. All around, the frozen landscape was visible, lit by the light from the moon on the snow. On either side, wide flat fields stretched to the base of the mountains that rose thousands of feet above the valley. The road itself, a thin black stripe in the expanse of white, was clear of snow. After heavy falls, tractors and snowplows were deployed to keep it open. Staff officers attached to the Wehrmacht's high command frequently used it. It was the quickest route from northern Italy, where the German army had suffered a series of defeats, to Adolf Hitler's headquarters at Berchtesgaden. The two boys huddled in the back were brothers. Officially, they belonged to no one. 3 months earlier, after forcibly wrenching them from their mother, the SS had altered their identities. On the orders of Heinrich Himmler, the Reichsführer SS, the Ministry of the Interior had supplied the necessary documents. New birth certificates with false names and invented dates and places of birth had been issued, enabling the SS to act as the stolen children's legal guardian. They were the Vorhoff brothers now. The ministry had named the elder boy Conrad. The baby was Robert. Up ahead, strange snow-shrouded shapes loomed in the fields, caught in the blue glare of the car's headlights. The railway line running parallel to the road was the main supply route to the German army in Italy, and the Americans had been bombing it for weeks. Wreckage from the raids was strewn across the fields. There were upturned train carriages, spilling their snow-covered contents. The wrecks of downed aircraft, identifiable by the tips of their propellers, and, in this thinly populated area, the sudden stark interiors of houses that had lost a wall through shelling. Earlier in the day, the order to pick up the children had been flashed through to the Gestapo. Marked top secret, it had come from the Reich Main Security Office, Himmler's headquarters in Berlin. The boys were to be taken to a Nazi-run orphanage at Wiesenhof, a tiny hamlet high in the Alps above Innsbruck. It was not far to go. Turning off the valley road at Hall, a prosperous medieval town some 8 miles from Innsbruck, the car headed up into the mountains. From here, it was a 5-minute drive to the orphanage.